Harper Audio presents Newport, a novel by Jill Morrow, performed by Johanna Parker. Chapter 1. The lighthouse on the shore flashed its beacon in time with each rolling heave of Jim Reed's stomach. His knuckles whitened around the metal railing of the boat as he leaned forward, willing the wicked water to swallow him up whole and end his misery now.
"Holy Mother of God," he groaned.
"Good grief, Mr. Reed. We're crossing Narragansett Bay, not the high seas." Adrian Delanois' words cut through the nighttime dimness of the ferry deck. Disembodied in the shadows, his silken tone carried the same authority it did when summing up a complicated case before a Boston jury. For at least the 10th time since they'd boarded Adrian's Pierce Arrow town car earlier that day, Jim swore beneath his breath at his own weakness, soft Irish words that he remembered from childhood but could no longer translate.
"Sorry to be such a wet blanket," he said. "I'm doing the best I can."
There was a pause as Adrian considered.
"Of course you are," he said. "You always do, my boy. You always do."
The smell of phosphorus hung on the air as a match arced through the darkness toward the cigarette in Adrian's mouth. Illuminated briefly by the flame, his chiseled features appeared almost otherworldly, his dark hair and eyes conjuring images more akin to pirates and gypsies than to prosperous middle age. Jim would have traded even his fresh new Harvard Law School sheepskin for some of that smooth coolness. It wasn't like he'd ever attain it without some sort of miracle. He was tall and lanky, with fair skin that blushed at the slightest provocation, and a sandy-colored cowlick that doomed him to be viewed as more boyish than manly by nearly every female who crossed his path.
"Here,"
Adrian handed him the cigarette.
"It will settle your stomach."
Grateful, Jim pulled in a deep drag. Even he could manage some degree of cleverness with a cigarette resting lightly between his fingers. Sometimes smoking felt like the most valuable lesson he'd learned in school. The god-awful queasiness began to subside. Adrian lit a cigarette for himself and leaned his elbows casually against the ferry's railing. The lighthouse receded off to the left, leaving the gentle glow of the stars to wash across the deck. Jim pushed his wire-rimmed glasses farther up his nose and let out a long, relieved sigh. The smoldering tip of Adrian's cigarette picked up glints in his gold tie pin, making the fine amethyst stone at its center glitter. Jim winced as he remembered one more thing he had to do. Search the floor of the town car for his own tie pin, which he'd flung there in annoyance after stabbing himself one time too many that day.
"We've almost reached Aquidneck Island," Adrian said.
"Newport is a short drive from the quay. I'll need only a moment to send Constance a telegram. She'll want to know we've arrived safely."
"Do you think we'll find any place open?"
Adrian shrugged.
"We'll manage something."
For as long as Jim had known Adrian Delanois, and that was practically all of Jim's 25 years, the man had never seemed ruffled or out of place. Such ease was to be expected in the sanctified halls of Andover and Harvard, which Jim had attended on Adrian's dime. Adrian had been born to fit into places like that, and he called both institutions alma mater. As far as Jim was concerned, each school could consider itself darn lucky. What surprised him more was that Adrian was equally at home in the Reed family's noisy South Boston row house, where a seemingly endless number of Jim's siblings, nieces, and nephews had tumbled across Mr. Delanois' well-dressed knees throughout the years. For all his accomplishments, Adrian seemed to require little more than the comfortable life he shared with his wife, Constance, and their two children back in Brookline. Jim glumly flicked his ashes into the bay. He himself never quite fit anywhere. Overeducated in his boyhood neighborhood, but not of the usual social class found at Harvard, he was a perennial fish out of water, getting by through the sheer power of his mind.
"Ah,"
a husky female voice behind Jim's shoulder startled him.
"Real men smoking real ciggies.
Please, darlings, tell me those are Fatimas."
Adrian reached into his coat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?